Dr. John Vandermeuling was a Presbyterian minister of an era gone by. He was also a seminary professor and the author of several books. And being a good Presbyterian, he played a little golf. And in one of his books, he made a comment in which he said, "The game of life is very much akin to the game of golf. We often find ourselves in the rough." And then he went on to add, "Unless you learn the secret of getting out of the rough, you're going to be in difficulty." Now, getting out of the rough is essential for the simple reason that in life, you're not always going to land in the fairway. Just recently, I have started playing golf again after a 4 or 5 year layoff. I have discovered that the layoff did not help my game particularly, but on the other hand, it does not seem to have hurt it very much either. And one of the things I have learned is that the way I play golf, if you can't get out of the rough, you are in real trouble. Bobby Jones, the famous amateur golfer, once wrote a book about golfing. And he said, "You see golfers practicing their swing on the tee, and they practice their iron shot swing on the fairway, but seldom do you see golfers practicing getting out of a sand trap." And then he went on to add, "Practice your sand shots, because you are often going to find yourself in the bunker." Well, that's certainly true. So often life finds us in the bunker or having to play out of the rough. And life doesn't work very well if you don't know how to play out of the rough. So often people come to me who are finding themselves in the rough. I walk into a funeral parlor and the woman standing by the coffin begins to cry when she sees me. "Oh, Dr. Jumper," she cries, "why did God let this happen to me?" I ring a doorbell. A call has come that a child playing on the roof of the garage has touched a high-powered line and is dead. The father comes to the door. His face is rigid in sudden grief. "Oh, Andy, how could God let this happen to a little boy like Mike?" I enter a hospital room, and a couple caught up in sudden tragedy and grief weep over the loss of a little baby. "How could this have happened?" A woman enters my study and takes a seat across the desk from me. Her eyes are puffed and red from weeping, and she begins to cry again as she tells me that her husband has left her and the children. "Why," she asks plaintively, "would God let a thing like this happen to me?" Such incidents could go on endlessly. Jobs lost, marriages breaking up, loved ones dying, relationships fracturing, children going bad. And how could God let such things happen? So the first point I want to make is that often in life we find ourselves having to play out of the rough because we haven't landed in the fairway. And the second point I want to make is that God didn't hit the shot into the rough. We did. Now let me explain that. The Bible begins with the story of how God created everything, and the Bible says, "And God saw that it was good." And then He made man the crown of His creation, and the Bible says that God made man in His own image to love him and to fellowship with him, and for man to love him in return. Now, God could have made man like a robot or an automaton. He could have programmed him to love God back automatically. But God didn't want that kind of rote love. So He did a daring thing. He made man free. He made him with the freedom to say yes to God or to say no. And do you know what? Ever since, man has been using that incredible freedom to say no to God. That rebellion has broken fellowship with God, and the Bible calls that brokenness sin. And sin did some pretty dreadful things to man and to his world. Brokenness entered man's social life, his interpersonal relationships. And the very first thing that happened was that a brother killed a brother. And do you know what? We've been murdering human relationships ever since. And brokenness entered man's emotional, mental life. For the Bible tells us that Adam became subject to fear. And ever since, we have been plagued by fears and anxieties that eat away at the security of our mental and emotional lives. But there was worse yet. The brokenness entered man's physical life, and he became subject to sickness, to pain, to old age, and death. But the worst news of all was that this brokenness ruptured our relationship to the Father. And we got ourselves cut off from God. But do you know what else the Bible tells us about our sin and rebellion? It tells us that our brokenness spilled over into the world in which we live. And we live in a broken, fallen world. And our sinfulness keeps on contaminating the world even today. So if you take the Bible seriously, we are a broken people living in a broken world. We are a fallen folk living in a fallen universe. And in that kind of a world, being the kind of people we're always landing in the rough. And we land in the rough not because God wanted it for us or willed it for us, but because that's exactly where we hit the ball. Do you begin to understand? A relationship can fail. A body can break down. An accident can happen. All because we live in a broken, fallen world. Now, if the story ended there, it would be a very sad story indeed. Some people think it ended there. The philosopher and novelist Albert Camus thought it ended there. If you read his books, you know the pessimism, the despair that permeate those writings. And at the end, he drove his car at high speed smack into a tree to end it all. But why not? If that is all life means, if despair and tragedy and hurt are all we have to look forward to, why not drive into a tree? But we know as Christians that the story doesn't end there. You see, we have a Savior who says to us, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's from John 16:33. If you don't know that, you will never get out of the rough. Jean-Paul Sartre, who professed to be a cynic, if not an atheist, once said, I'm alive, and I find it nauseating. Someone asked another atheist, Clarence Darrow, if you were a young man today, what would you do? And the atheistic Mr. Darrow replied, I would jump out a 30-story window. Well, we don't have to feel that way when we land in the rough, because we have a Savior who says to us, take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, sometimes I may be perfectly innocent of any wrongdoing and bad things happen just because we are a part of a broken, fallen world. We can be perfectly innocent, and a drunk can run a red light and injure or kill an innocent person. A virus can attack a heart muscle. An unborn baby's umbilical cord can get twisted. A cell can suddenly go wild and become a cancer, and no one has done anything wrong. On the other hand, sometimes we may not be so innocent after all. Cliff Barrows, who leads the singing for the Billy Graham Crusades, tells the story of a 19-year-old boy who was killed because when he was behind the steering wheel of an automobile, he was drunk. When the police located his father and he came to the hospital and discovered that his boy was dead, he said, "If I could just get my hands around the neck of the person who put that liquor in my son's hands, I would kill him." And when the father got home from the hospital that night, he found a note on his desk in his study. And it was a note from his son. And he said, "Dad, I'm going to a party. And I've taken a bottle of scotch out of your liquor cabinet. Thanks. But whether I'm innocent or not, I live in a broken, fallen world where bad things happen. I live in a world where so often I find myself having to play out of the rough. So the first point I have made is that all of us eventually end up in the rough. And the second point is that God didn't hit the shot, we did. And the third point I want to make is that God says to us out there in the rough, take heart, I have overcome the world. Isn't that what our scripture for this morning says? Our text says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Our memory verse says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Has anything gone wrong in your life? Isn't it hard sometimes to see any rhyme or reason in it? We're like a little boy watching a circus parade through a knothole in a fence. He has just a knothole view of the parade. If he sees a lion, he gets scared. If he sees a clown, he laughs. If he sees and hears a band, he taps his foot. If he sees a space between the band and the acrobat, he may think the parade is over. But suppose as he's watching the parade, his brother calls out to him, and his brother has climbed up on the roof of the house behind the fence, and he is calling his little brother to come and join him. And from up there, the view is great. From the rooftop, the perspective is entirely different. Now he can see the beginning of the parade, the middle of the parade, and far down the street, the end of the parade. Now he doesn't have to fear the lion because just behind it come the clown and the acrobats. He doesn't have to be afraid of the bearded lady because just behind her comes the brass band and the juggler. The perspective from the rooftop is entirely different from the view through the knothole. Unfortunately for us, we can't get up on the roof to get that rooftop perspective. A loved one dead, a child tragically killed, a marriage broken, a child gone wrong, a body deteriorating, all seen through the knothole can break our hearts. But the Bible tells us that because of Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Can you trust that? Can you put your hand in the hand of the Master and trust Him? Sometimes that can be hard to do. Some years ago, long after World War II was over, out in the desert of North Africa, men exploring for oil in the desert found an amazing thing. there sitting intact in the desert, all of her instruments still workable, was a World War II bomber. On the nose of her fuselage, the name of the plane was still legible. It was named the Lady Be Good. A search of the record showed that the plane had gone out on a bombing mission and had never been heard from again. But how could this be? For here it was, out in the desert, 400 miles past the field to which it should have returned. Investigators concluded that the Lady Be Good had gotten into a high-altitude jet stream that had more than doubled its speed without the crew being aware of it. Since the crew knew from previous bombing runs how long it ordinarily took them to return to base, when they reached their airfield in less than half the time it ordinarily took them, they assumed their instruments were in error and flew on into the desert. At last their fuel ran out and they crash-landed. Later on, searchers found the remains of several of the crew who perished trying to get help. You see, disaster came because the crew would not trust and believe their instruments. And isn't that what happens when we don't trust God? We always end up in some barren desert of despair when our confidence in Him is gone. But what if we trust our instruments? What if we trust God no matter what happens? St. Paul tells us, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And then he adds, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we trust Him, we are united to Him in such a way that nothing can separate us. If you trust God, you can play out of the rough and land on the green, not because you're such a great golfer, but because you've got such a great God. And let me add this final thought. You see, the fact is, we don't always land in the rough. Sometimes we hit the fairway. And the Bible says, in all things, even when we're on the fairway, God is at work to bring good out of all of life. And we need to remember the shots in the fairway as well. I suspect many of us have found ourselves in the rough from time to time. But isn't it true in your life and in mine that most of the time we're in the fairway? You know, it's just amazing. When we hit the rough, we say, why did God let this happen? And when we land in the fairway, we say, what a good shot I made. Listen, whatever is happening in your life, God is at work in it. It is true that we live in a broken, fallen world. And it is true that we are the ones who broke it and made it fall because we are a broken and fallen people. But whatever life brings us, whatever shot we make, whether we're in the fairway or the rough, God, who loves us, is at work in it. And wherever our shot lands, we know a wonderful truth. In all things, God works for good. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Let us pray.